Welcome to our next talk. Now we're listening on privacy on the semantic net. Let's have a social network with XMMPP. And we'll listen to Jan. He will help this talk.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Jan Torben. I'm from the Institute for Geoinformatics in Münster. And today I will talk about privacy in the semantic web. And I will introduce a social network approach based on XMPP. So let me first tell you why I give this talk. The current ideas and the work I'm presenting are basing on my diploma thesis, or master thesis for those of you who are not familiar with the traditional German education system. And I want today try to open the project for the non-academic users, so maybe some of you, or mostly maybe your friends, people that are not very interested in technical details, but may care a bit about privacy and security, but don't know really what this stuff is all about. I would like to discuss later on my work with interested people. I got a few emails from you. Thank you for that. And I hope to meet some of you later on. So that was my motivation. And I will talk, I've divided my talk in two sections. First, I will talk a bit about privacy, social semantic, all these funny words. Maybe not all of you know what semantic web is, or have no, maybe some of you have no idea what really privacy means, or how can you define it. And finally, I'll introduce shortly my friend-to-friend architecture, so a social network which is between friends, but not on her, maintained by companies like Google, Yahoo, Facebook, or the Holzbrink here in Germany, which owns the popular StudiVZ. So, what is a social network? I don't know is here anyone who is not a member of one of these social networks? Wow! Great. is here one of you who would not be able to program a Twitter? No one. So what is all this stuff about? Why are so many people using social networks? And why is this such a buzzword? The social networks I presented here, are just some of them are very different. So Delicious, for example, is just a social bookmarking, social tagging. It's very different to maybe MySpace, where you can present yourself, what you do in the evening, upload photos, whatever, music, and totally prostitute yourself. So what is a social network? Is it really something new? Didn't we have that before? So what changed in the last year so the social network came up? Does it use any technology which is new? Flash is, I don't know how old Flash is. JavaScript, oh my God. Ajax, maybe funny, but I don't think it's something very special in social networks. So is it social because it's written for the people? I'm not sure. Guess some of them are mainly written because of the money you can make of them. So I think it is social because of the people who use it. And the people, so in my eyes, the people who are using the internet today differ from the users maybe 10 years ago. They were only academics or technology geeks, like I think we are. But today, my mother is using the internet, or my cousin is using the internet, and in a totally different way. So my cousin wanted to send me some photos for Christmas, but he was not able to send an attachment with an email. It was completely new to him. So although we are both using the internet, he's using the internet in a completely different way. So we tried to give me some SchülerVZ link, which, don't know, that's nothing I use. So we ended up in using traditional CD-ROMs. Okay, so as I said, all kinds of people use the internet, and most of them are not really interested in technical details. So they just want to use a social network because they can talk to their friends of everyday life or exchange photos, whatever. But they never had the idea what it means to upload all your stuff to one company in order to share it with the friends. So they use it because social applications are easy to use. Your data is always on the web, accessible from everywhere, maybe by everyone. Depends on the site you use. And your real life and your online life get connected. Yeah? So when I went to school, a few people used the internet, and I never came. I never had the idea to only use the internet to contact with them. So we had telephone or whatever, or we had our meeting points in real lives. And finally, you can make thousands of connections to new virtual friends. Don't know if they're really real friends. So in the meaning as we use it normally, if we speak to people in real life. So, but you can maintain a big list of friends for whatever reason you want to do that. You can say, I have 1,000 friends on MySpace, and everyone is such a nice guy. So, and all these people who are using the social networks really don't know about security or privacy issues, as I mentioned before. And I think it's a bit the responsibility of people who are more concerned about this stuff to propose alternatives to the current social networks. So that is my motivation, that was my motivation for my diploma thesis, and that is my motivation why I'm speaking here to you today. So privacy, what is privacy about? Privacy is about the personal data you store in social networks. So maybe profiles on MySpace, bookmarks on Delicious, whatever you store in such social networks can somehow affect your privacy. You don't know today what can happen to the data you generate today, you store today. Maybe you have a certain disease and you try to inform yourself about the disease and maybe join a group on Facebook or whatever. And maybe some company where you want to work later on gets the knowledge about it. Maybe this company decides not to hire you for that reason because of the disease you have, and maybe it's a disease which affects you in the way you can work in a few years. And just imagine this is a genetic disease, and maybe your children in 50 years won't get hired for that reason. So we are the first generation in the information century, and I think the danger cannot foreseen yet. The danger of just putting all your stuff into the internet. Maybe some of you know the stuff from Google where you can maintain your medical records, mainly for an American citizen. And I think that's something we really don't want to have here in Germany or want to have in any country, that one company gets all of this knowledge about you. So, but privacy is not only about the content you explicitly store in such social networks, but also about what you do, what you visit the pages. Many people which I've talked to didn't know what is possible with the user tracking software today. So for example, DoubleClick, each page that has advertisements from DoubleClick knows which pages you visit after and after and so on. Same stuff as Google Analytics. And so keep track about which pages you visit. And I think this is also something going on in social networks, that they explicitly store which page you visited, to what time, to which people you had contact, and so on. I have some friends who work in the advertisement business, and when they talk about activity on the internet, they really want to have this knowledge, to which people, which use which pages, and when do they buy which stuff, and so on. And yeah. So third, there's another privacy. There's another way where we use privacy. For example, what others publish about me. So many users are concerned about party photos on Facebook or StudioVZ uploaded by friends. But I won't cover this issue. It's not a technical one. I think you should discuss it with your friends if they upload photos about you. And I'm not going to present a technical solution for it. So privacy in the social semantic web. Thanks. What is the semantic web? Do you know who of you knows semantic web, the term? Oh, great. That's enough. Okay. the semantic web. The vision was originally from Tim Berners-Lee. I hope it's not wrong. So he said he had a vision about a machine-readable internet. So you don't just publish your pages or blogs or whatever in plain HTML, but you give all the content you publish a meaning. And this is the semantic web. It's a bit complicated. Many academic people are doing research in this area, and for many years now we haven't moved really much, but each year a bit, and I think the semantic web will come, and even if it's not coming for the people, we still have the technology to analyze information in social networks. For example, the company who owns it can use semantic web technologies to analyze what I said before, which user reads which pages and which user is interested in which music and so on. And so even if the semantic web is not coming for everyone and will make the internet to a big database which everyone can crawl or however, we still have to keep in mind that the semantic web technologies will be always there and available to whoever wants to use it as long as he has the data. So one example, for those of you who are not very familiar with the semantic web, are the FOAF profiles. I think the most used semantic web schema, however you want to call it, someone calls it an ontology, don't want to argue at this point. So the FOAF profiles are just like a profile page where you can describe yourself, so your email address, your ICQ number or whatever. And the interesting part is you can link to other people's FOAF profiles and say, I know this person who has a FOAF profile at this URL and so on. And so you get a huge network of friends who know each other, friends of friends and so on. And this is the idea of the semantic web, to have different documents describing some entity, maybe a person or a band or a bookmark or whatever, and you can link between these. So the goal of the semantic web is to aggregate and combine information from different sources. And I think here is the big privacy issue we have or we have to face in the next years, because that's certainly something we don't want. We don't want that every social network gets connected to every other social network. So maybe you want to separate your private Facebook account from your LinkedIn account, or for the German example, Xing and StudiVZ or whatever. So the current technology that you have companies who maintain the social networks and may share the data with others in future, this is an architecture which I really, that's my privacy concern. So how can we protect our privacy today or tomorrow? If you suggest to your friends not to use social networks, I think they won't listen to you. And I know that many people who are concerned about their privacy use social networks anyway because they don't want to lose the contact to others. So the issue, I think, is the architecture. The architecture that there is a central database where users store their information in order to share it with friends. And the user does not know what the provider does or what he will do with the data in future. And I think we need another architecture, and as you may think, this is based on XMPP. So here's, again, just a picture. I will compare it to another one later about social networks which have a central server. Every person can store the data on it. And that's a problem. Yeah? We have a central place, which we don't want to have. But we want that data exchange is only between friends. Yeah, so there is no party in between that has some no part in between to store the data or to provide an API or whatever. So, and of course, all transmissions must be encrypted. I think that's clear. So the XMPP network consists of some servers in the internet which are only responsible for communication. I will later argue why I use XMPP and not some other peer-to-peer or whatever network. So, and each user can connect to one of the servers, gets an address and so on, and can connect to everyone else. It's an extensible instant messaging protocol, and it's not true peer-to-peer, which you might have expected when talking about privacy and friend-to-friend connections. For a simple reason that the XMPP networks can ensure communication between friends or peers, whatever, even if they are both behind packet filters, firewalls, routers, however you want to call it, which is, I think, a common configuration for most people. And to go into details, you can't tell your friend to open a port, maybe, just as you do it for your file sharing software, maybe. Just in order to run a social network or to communicate with others. So I think we still need an architecture like in the XMPP network that you always have a server where you can connect to in order to exchange messages. But the difference to servers in networks like Facebook or whatever is that the servers of the XMPP network don't have to know about the information you exchange. They just route the messages. And as you know, messages are always routed in the internet. So every router your message passes can read the message. So it doesn't matter that there is a special XMPP server besides all the other hops in the internet where your message came across. So we can use end-to-end encryption between friends. And PGP, you all know PGP, I think. We had some talks or it's mentioned. Yeah, I think you know it. So, but there's one problem. PGP isn't widely used yet. For whatever reason, I think it's complicated to use. And I don't use it very often. And only if I send emails to friends where I know they use PGP. So if not, I even don't sign my messages. And I think the main challenge we have on the one hand is really to implement a user-friendly PGP support. I don't have an answer yet, but maybe some ideas we can discuss later. So my current prototype from the diploma thesis is just a social bookmark sharing application. So maybe like Delicious or Bibsonomy, if you know it. You can create bookmarks and tag them, and you can recursively crawl for tag bookmarks in the network of friends. And this, can you see it? Okay, on the left you see the demo application which shows your personal network, just a simple one. You have a few friends, and you can maybe see friends of friends, and you can search for tagged bookmarks and get a list. It's a bit Google-like, I would say, or I think they're been the first one with a simple interface to be familiar to other users. And my idea, or what I want, is to take this prototype and build a social network library or whatever, or how you want to call it. Don't care about the Java stuff, and it may look ugly to some of you. Many people don't like Java. No discussion about that. It's an academic language. Using some... the main reason to use it was there have been a lot of libraries I could build up. So the Java 6 Web Start application is it, and it uses this SysAMI ADF database. If someone, maybe someone is also using the ADF stuff with Java, you know that. The SMAC API is an XMPP implementation, and the previews visualization toolkit is used for the social graphs. So, to come to my open challenges, how can a serverless network survive? So what happens if all contacts go offline? What do we do then? It's a bit difficult. We can do some caching strategies, but it's not easy to implement. It's ongoing work. And as I said, how can PGP be implemented in a secure but user-friendly way? That's really my main concern about all the stuff. So, and if you are interested, maybe to extend the current Java approach or to write another client, which can be maybe a web interface. So one idea is to have a local server, which does the XMPP stuff and serves web pages to your local browser. Or what I really would like to see is an instant messenger extension, because I think many people are familiar with instant messaging software. Or maybe a Flash application. Could look a bit nicer than the Java stuff, or a mobile application. I think, or the other way around. I saw a poster here on one of the doors showing some ideas about XMPP and location sharing or so. Did you recognize it? I don't know. Okay, I think for mobile application, it's really a killer application to share your location with friends. That's certainly something I don't want to share with any provider. So I don't want to have Google a track of my location during, or the whole time, or whole life maybe, just to know which friends of me or friends of mine are near. So that I think that's something, especially for the mobile application, interesting. So, if you have any questions, thanks for your attention. Maybe some details, more technical details.
I listened to your talk, and I was wondering why you didn't choose to peer-to-peer networks, because I think they scale a lot better. We have a lot of peer-to-peer technology developed. Like, for example, the Skype network, you can traverse NATs, that's no problem anymore. And I think data storage would be much easier, like using distributed hash tables. And so there's technologies for using that, so why do you think XMPP is a better choice?
I don't know. What's Skynet? Sorry?
Skype.
Skype. Okay. I don't know about the technology that Skype uses. But normally in peer-to-peer networks, we have a situation that you try to connect to as many other clients as possible, yeah? Right? So to get a high bandwidth, to get as much information as possible that are in the network. But I think you really for social networks, you really want to start at your friends. You know, you want to connect to your friends first, and maybe you are not interested in what other content is available in the network. But I'm interested. If you have a few minutes time afterwards, maybe you can tell me a bit what the advantages of Skype are. I don't know. Who's next? That's a microphone.
I got a few suggestions, because you said you want to use GPG. GPG, which is XEP27, is already deprecated. And as you already said, key exchange is very complicated, and this is why there's work on other standards. There is e-session standards, which has been deferred because it is too complicated to implement. And there's yeah, now work on XTLS, and I think this would be the way to go for this. And there's work to make it very easy to verify the keys. The design is sort of to be as easy as possible so that you can even instant message with your grandmother and you just need to call her and verify a short string. That is how it's done in e-sessions as well. But unfortunately, there's no working XTLS implementation in any client yet, as far as I know. There's only e-session support in Gadgem. And yeah, it seems the e-sessions idea, which is very similar to how XTLS will work once it's finished, seems to be very easy to be used. And another advantage you get by that is XEP27 only allows you to encrypt the body of a message stanza, while e-sessions allow you to encrypt the whole stanza, and XTLS even allows you to encrypt IQ stanzas and other stanzas like presents. You can even send them directed then. And another suggestion I have is that you use PubSub, for example, to publish the list of friends, or to exchange photos, and etc.
Okay, thanks for your ideas. Yes, I know PGP is deprecated or not really usable in XMPP. So I just, for the first prototype, implemented my own PGP add-on. But the idea to also encrypt message stanzas and so and IQ stanzas, it's a good idea. Thanks.
You pointed out your goal to share information only with friends.
Yes.
And I wonder about whether you consider friendship to be a transitive relation, that is, friends of friends are your friends too, and whether you consider it to be invariant over time, so that someone who has been your friend 3 years ago is still your friend.
Yeah, trust is a big issue. I don't know if you know the PGP trust model. It's not really used. It's also about transitive friendships and so on. For my bookmark sharing application, I count the number of transitivity or however you want to call it. So you can skip at a certain degree. So maybe only three hops in your network of friends or whatever. So there's a difference between friends of friends and true friends, as to and direct friends. And you can maybe say 10 or more, a distance of 10 or more is too much for friends of friends transitivity. And I want to skip here or to break. You wanted to know who can decide the transitivity, yes? So who can decide when to skip in the chain of friends? First of all, as a person who wants to give out information can decide if he really wants to give out the information to the one who's asking. So if you receive a query from one of your friends, you see who originally sent the query, so because it's signed by PGP, of course, and then you can decide if he may access the information or not. And on the other hand, if you send an information to friend, you send a query to friends, you maybe don't want others to reach the query because it's too, you don't even want that other people know about the query you sent. Other questions?
I absolutely second your opinion about the PGP not being user-friendly enough. We're all techies here and pretty savvy with technology, but users, real users, are not, and they are not able to use PGP in any way. So why do you insist on using PGP and not try to find some other way to encrypt data, like off-the-record encryption, which also reduces the one problem PGP causes, which is plausible deniability, where you have a signed message so you can track it back to the originator, which you probably do not want to have possible, but only encrypt the full text message, but without having it explicitly signed, so it cannot be tracked back to the original author.
So, is off-the-record encryption, isn't it just an addition to any public-private key encryption? Or maybe I got it wrong?
As far as I know, it's a session-based asymmetric encryption method. So you have a different set of keys for every session you use it, unlike PGP.
Okay. So, but if you want to trust your communication partner, you have you must verify him. So, if you use off-the-record encryption, you can just be sure no one can alter the messages in your communication. But you cannot ensure that the one you are communicating to is really the one who claims it to be. So it's yeah. So I think off-the-record encryption can be used and it's useful, but you always need to verify your communication partner, and that is the crucial part, or the complicated part in PGP encryption. Yes, through microphone.
Okay. Can I first, because then I'll give the microphone to you. Michi Lenners from NLNet Foundation. So basically, there's besides XMPP, you have SIPSimple, and it's another ITF standard that offers presence, which is a feature would be very helpful to have the sort of LinkedIn type of updates to your friends without being centrally controlled. Basically, you own individual atomic relationships with each and everybody without it being visible to anybody else. And the second is, if there's anybody working on this in the audience, please contact me afterwards, because I work for a funding agency. We fund this type of stuff. So we fund many different projects, Mingle, Jingle, SipSimple client, and so on. So if people are working on this and are able to do the encryption layer on top of this, please talk to me afterwards.
Great.
Hi. I'm just curious, the title of the talk said the social semantic web. Okay, you are using SysAMI, an RDF-based middleware which is used within semantic technologies, but did you use something else out of the semantic technology sector in your application? For example, did you define an ontology to reason about who is whose friend, or I don't know? I am missing the semantic part. Yeah, this is my question.
I've took the semantic part a bit out of the presentation. It was the main focus of my diploma thesis, but I didn't know if all the audience is interested in it. So the semantic part was in the tagging application, yeah, so that you can link your tags, which you can treat as local concepts, to other vocabularies. So in scores or whatever you want, or some WordNet stuff or whatever. And so you can, on the one hand, search on a label base, or you can search for concepts or deeper concepts or whatever. So that was...
So you defined an ontology for your data and...
Yeah, I used the tag ontology from Tom Gruber, maybe you know it. Yeah.
I'm very excited about this project, especially the PDP. First, I want to say Skype is not how to do it, because it has a centralized system and that's how it can be blocked. And PDP is important because it can be used for other issues like email and web pages and encryption. So it's important to get something like PDP out, because it will empower people to do a lot more stuff. And I think it's not the technical things that's stopping it, it's how to use it. I was to a conference in Denmark where Arto, Associate Network, was saying that because they want to fight people making fake profiles of classmates and so on, they started to verify users. They wanted to use social security numbers, which of course is extremely bad from a privacy issue. And we also have some friend verification, where can you verify your friends? And PDP is just a much better way of doing that. in a secure and better way. So I think that's great.
Sorry, I wasn't able to get the key idea of your comment. What is it to you?
I just want to comment that I think PDP is important, and I think it's important to have a way of feeling that the users get some value out of it. That you get value out of it from your friend, you know. It's a social thing that you want to have many friends, and you should be able to sell the network with the web of trust as a good thing in itself and a motivation for people to use it. And I think that could really work.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I didn't... was it a question? Or I'm sorry, it was very difficult to hear it. Sorry. Okay. Other questions?
Sorry. So the one hurdle to adoption of this stuff that seems obvious to me is the persistence problem that you sort of mentioned briefly, that what happens when people go offline, their data is gone. So are you aware of any technologies, any work being done that could be used to overcome that, for example, by defining a way for caching data somewhere in the cloud for, say, a limited amount of time and possibly with encryption wrapped around it, which means that the person doing the caching doesn't necessarily have access to the content?
Yes, that are two ideas. One is some kind of data store where you can put encrypted packets and give your friends a key to it. Or another option is to let your friends cache your data, which they retrieved before or however. You will always have the problem of versioning conflicts or whatever, which you have to deal with. And I stopped at that point because I think that's something which has to be solved more deeper in the semantic layer, in the semantic web layer, so versioning of RDF triples or whatever. And for my diploma thesis, that was simply too much. And so I stopped at the caching stuff. And yeah, it's for later. More? Yeah?
I think this problem is actually addressed by DHT. So if you would take a look into Kademlia or Pastry, for example, you will already find applications that will give you distributed storage. And the next step to implement a secure distributed storage is not that difficult if you're using some encryption scheme, which is able to give each friend the key, but not giving the key to the public. So maybe the DHT approach or the real peer-to-peer approach will solve not only the problem of connecting between users, but also the storage problem.
Yeah, then you have the problem if you can, for example, sign only the whole block of information. So you can, if you cache a whole block of information for your friend, you can only give out the whole block, but not parts of it. Maybe not the problem, maybe a problem. You have to think about it.
Yeah.
Microphones.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
To me, for social networks, one important thing is to reach a critical mass to get enough information. For example, if you think of things, project like Last.fm, mm-hmm. You can participatively create an interesting database, but you can link all the information to the people. I'm wondering to which extent it would be possible to use your scheme to try to generate something big like this, because if you're only using friends or friend of a friend, you're getting stuck and you can't reach enough information to get this critical mass.
Okay, you mean if I use the application, it's difficult to get to all other information because I can only go from friends or friends to friends or friends?
Yeah.
Okay. I did some research. You know the small word phenomenon? So on Facebook, someone calculated that most people are only 5 to 8 steps away. So I think from a friend-to-friend perspective, it would be possible but costly to reach nearly all information available with this approach.
But it definitely needs some caching.
Sure, yeah. So you don't want to send one query to the whole network.
I've got a comment to what you just said about signing the whole block of information. Mm-hmm. You can easily solve that problem with hash trees. So you have a tree where you have mm-hmm. several smaller blocks which are signed, and you sign the hashes of those hashes, and then you only have one central hash that you sign, and you don't have to hand out the whole information.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I also think that DHTs are exactly what you're looking for the persistence part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different suggestion about the caching part, because I think this is actually solved in XMPP, because XMPP has a server-side technology that's called PubSub, and it's basically a storage of data that you can subscribe to. So PubSub is publish and subscribe, and one person can publish data, and everybody else can say, everybody who's your friend, or you can whitelist them, or whatever, can say, I want that data. So it's stored on the server, and you could, if you want, also encrypt it, but basically you can fairly granularly say only my friends or only the people in my roster can access this data, or people on the whitelist can access this data. And this also works if you're offline, so that would probably solve that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you took a look at some mostly tuple space based solutions out of the semantic community? They are not very useful, but I think they maybe deliver some ideas for at least for the data delivery approach or the data propagation approach.
What was the name? Sorry.
In the semantic community, there are various space-based, tuple space-based projects in development, which partly address the problems you have. For example, which are very similar to what you have written, mm-hmm. but do not use own protocols to connect the peers. They use existing peer-to-peer technology.
Okay.
If you are interested, mm-hmm. I can
of course.
Tell you some of the project.
Mm-hmm. So more questions, remarks? Okay, then I want to thank you for... sorry.
Yeah. I'm not sure if your approach is in the same league as the existing social networks, because you have kind of an exclusive approach. People have to know maybe the unique identifier of someone who they want to become friends with, and the traditional approach to social networks is more like open and inclusive. You get to know people on Last.fm because they share the musical taste. And you cannot do that with your approach. So that may be a limit to the appeal your approach has. Maybe the nerd and hacker type might like that because you have a real friends network with people you really know. But what social networks are about is not getting in contact with people you really know in real life, but to broaden your friendship. And I'm not sure how your scheme applies to that.
Yeah, it wouldn't apply to maybe MySpace or whatever, something different, but this content sharing stuff like Delicious or maybe Bibsonomy, which focus more on research papers or whatever. I think in this part it's interesting to know what your friends have what content your friends provide and so on. And maybe it's possible to implement a MySpace-like social network based on XMPP, I'm not sure. But it's a hard way to go. It's a long way to really implement a fancy social network. more. Okay, then thank you. Those of you. If you had comments and suggested some cool new feature or link or whatever, please use the feedback system. Would be glad to also hear something about the stuff in general. So whatever you want, just drop me a note or ask me now.